Well, how's everybody doing today? All right. Hey, could you turn that down a little bit? It's kind of messing with my head. Yeah, thanks. Everybody still hear me? All right, good. Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about the Roman road to salvation. It's a way to witness to people. It's a way to evangelize. Also, it's a way to affirm our faith and build our faith. Many religions in the world... As a chaplain, which I'm Stephen Mickle, I'm sheriff's chaplain. Before that, I was a military chaplain. But I've read about just about all the religions, you know, Islam, Buddhism, you name it, I've tried to read it. And there's nothing this profound in any other religion. Yeah, so next slide. All right. So Anna and Simon. Simon was an elderly man. You know, back then you only lived to be about 40, so he was probably 41. No, I'm just kidding. But he was hanging in there. He was going to stay alive because there's something God told him in a dream or something that he was going to get to see the Messiah. And so he hung out at the temple all the time because the Messiah is supposed to come to the temple. That's why a lot of the Orthodox Jews are in a hurry to build the temple to encourage a Messiah to come and bring about world peace before everything gets too messed up. But, they believed the same way back then. So they hung out at the temple because God revealed to him, that the Messiah was coming. So he said, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people in Israel." Now, a woman next to him, she's also Anna the prophetess. It looks like they're husband and wife, but it didn't say they were. Maybe boyfriend, girlfriend, I don't know. But she was a prophetess, and so she reaffirmed everything he said, and she went around the temple and said, "Yeah, this is really the Messiah. This baby's really the Messiah, and he's come here to save everybody." Next slide. All right, well, there is a problem. As Jesus said, first I'm going to come to the Jews, then I'm going to come to the Gentiles. So for the Jews first, then the Gentiles. Well, the first Gentiles, as I've said before in other sermons, first Gentiles to encounter Jesus were Romans, but they were voluntold. They weren't volunteered to see Jesus. Every time there was some kind of crowd or something, they had to come around and monitor things because... You had people like Simon the Zealot. My little girl's in martial arts, and so when she sees him on a Chosen doing his kata and stuff, she likes that. She thinks that's cool. She kind of made a face when he threw his sword away, but hey. But, so Roman soldiers didn't know what was going on. They didn't know if the Zealots were going to stir things up or other people. They didn't know that. So they had to go out and watch over with the crowds and everything to make sure everything's going to be okay. So they started seeing some of the miracles Jesus did too. So after a while, and then when everything happened, Jesus died. Normally Romans would get killed if a body was stolen from a tomb they were guarding. But the Jews, the Pharisees said, "Hey, we're going to pay off the Roman rulers and stuff. And hey, don't kill these guys because we don't want anybody to know the body was taken." Oh, so guess what soldiers do? They're like, they tell war stories, right? It's like, "And there I was." usually they're about a battle or something, but they're like, "There I was. There was a flash of lightning. And then when I woke up again, the stone was rolled away." And the other soldiers are like, "No," I use other stuff, but they're like, "No kidding." And so that's how things started spreading about Jesus. Next slide. Apostle Paul was one of those Pharisees that didn't like Christians. He had Christians killed because they were breaking God's law. They were saying, "Hey, this man, that died and somehow they stole the body. He's our Lord and Savior, and they're worshiping him, and that's blasphemy. They're even converting a lot of the Jews, and so we got to stop this," because he followed the letter of the law. Apostle Paul followed the letter of the law, because that's how you did it. And if you read the Old Testament, there's a lot of laws to follow. And then they've added interpretations on top of it now. It's called the Talmud. And so there's a whole lot of law. They study thou law. They don't study the prophets as much because it takes a lot of time to study the law to get close to God. You know, and that's how God set it up. God set up a way to get close to Him, but He said, someday I'm going to come and make it where you don't have to do that. And so Apostle Paul was going out to look for some more Christians to kill. And you know the story, he fell off his horse and he met Jesus as a bright light and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And so actually the Lord told him to go see the Christians that he was persecuting. You know, and they prayed for him because he was blinded for 3 days. The scales fell off his eyes. And so Saul becomes Paul. But then God had a mission for him. He was a guy that was very legalistic, you know, very orthodox. You had to follow the letter of the law to get close to God. You had to eat certain things and do certain things. And if you didn't, you might become unclean. Then you couldn't even go to the temple for a few days until you had the right ceremonies and everything. He was here to enforce that. But God changed his mission. Next slide. So he realized, you know, when he was healed and when he had that experience, he realized that the death of Jesus ended the law. When Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, I always like to throw that in there. I don't like to leave it where he's just on the cross. But that ended the law. Next slide. So I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who considers it unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. So Apostle Paul said Christianity is going to eat bacon, right? That was one of the favorite foods of the Romans, pigs. That's why the Sumerians were raising pigs to sell to the Romans. They weren't as strict as the regular Jews. Sumerians were Jews, though. But so God showed the Apostle Paul that getting to know God was now an eternal thing. And a book of John was starts out, you know, in the beginning the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. It goes on, it talks about we were in the age of the law, but now we're in the age of grace. And so before, it was an external thing, we follow the law. And a lot of Christians, they go back for generations now that were Jews, that have become Christians. A lot of them still follow the rules and the laws, but they've accepted Jesus. You know, so they don't think if they accidentally eat pork, they're going to, you know, get struck by lightning or anything. But there's a group of Christians, Messianic Christians, that's what they are. And then there's a lot of Christians that want to become Messianic Jews, which, I don't know, that makes it harder, I think, to be a Christian. But Apostle Paul said, you know, you don't have to follow the letter of the law anymore. You don't have to do it anymore. But a lot of people in jail, they say they're Jews so they can get a better diet. So we called up a Leaf University in Florida. They got a record of every Jew in the world, no matter where they live, you know, from the Horn of Africa to Japan, China. Every Jew in the world that's officially a Jew, they have a record of it. And they said, guess what? There's no Jews in San Bernardino County jail system. But yeah, okay. All right, next slide. Just trying to keep people awake. Trying to keep me awake. So here's the Roman road. I got it. The ones I give the inmates, I just give them a one-pager. Hey, this is good, Deb. I mean, you could still read this, even though it's smaller. But this is a step. It's a cheat sheet, step to a Roman road. When you witness to people, you know, you can talk with people. I mean, I do it in jail. So some people are like, hey, God's never going to forgive me. And I'm like, don't say that. Just ask Him. He'll do it. He has to because He said He would. God said, Jesus said that if you ask, call upon My name, I will forgive you. So He has to. He doesn't go back on His word. Next slide. So Apostle Paul had to talk to the Romans. Romans didn't know anything about the law. The Jewish Christians did, so you didn't really need a New Testament. They used all the books in the Old Testament, and they used it to affirm their faith about the prophecies of the Messiah and what would happen when the Messiah came. And so the Christian Jews didn't really need the New Testament or anything. So most of the New Testament, other than the Gospels, you know, they wrote the Gospels so that it could be handed down what Jesus did. But most of the rest of the New Testament is written to the Gentiles. It's written to those Roman soldiers that got saved first. They started wanting to know about Cornelius. The Jews didn't even voluntarily at first go to the Roman soldiers. But there's one named Cornelius, the first Gentile that ever became a Christian. How many people in here are Jewish? All right, because of Cornelius, we're all in church right now. He's the first Christian that was Gentile. And he didn't even ask anybody to come see him. He just prayed to God, and he believed and saw things Jesus did. Not sure if he was really a Christian or not, but God said, go see Cornelius. He told Peter to go see Cornelius. And Peter's like, I'm Jewish. I can't go see this guy. Even though Peter was Christian, you know, he thought it was just for the Jews, just like everything else. And God said, no, you go there. Peter was afraid he might get something to eat because that was unclean. And, you know, God gave him a dream about sheep falling down with animals on it. And God says, take and eat. Everything I made is clean. And Peter's like, okay, well, how much more is Cornelius if God tells me, Jesus tells me to go see this guy, witness to him? So his whole family accepted Christ. First name, Gentile. Apostle Paul's like, how do I explain this to the Romans? They're not going to want to eat just kosher food. They're not going to want to wear the little caps and stuff. The Romans are like, what? We have to become Jews. The Apostle Paul knew that wouldn't work, and God told him it wouldn't. And so the Apostle Paul, among many books, he wrote the book of Romans. He also wrote the book of Hebrews, which connects the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know, to make people understand more. And then several other books. But he wrote the book of Romans. And he was saying, basically, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood what has been made, so people are without excuse. So he's basically saying you don't have to be a Jew to have exclusive rights to God. You can see God exists throughout all creation. You can see God exists. And also later on in Romans it talks about you already know right from wrong because God puts it in our hearts and communicates with everybody, you know, whether they're a Jew or not. So Romans also can understand God. Next slide. So accepting God as Creator, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him because their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And so even though God was revealed to Gentiles, yeah, they became foolish because they wanted to do their own thing. And so they wanted to do their own thing. And so, you know, just like everybody, even the Jews, everybody's rejected God. Everybody's rejected God because we always want to do our own thing. A lot of times I want to do, you know, Chaplain Pastor Mickle wants to do his own thing. You know, we're always doing that. That's why God says, hey, Lord's Prayer, forgiveness. He says, it's a model of prayer. And He says to pray for forgiveness every day. Because we're always trying to drift away. And without God, we become foolish. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom, right? Basically, Apostle Paul's telling the Romans, God's been with them all along. God's been speaking to them all along. And here's how you accept God. Next slide. So, all are sinners. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No matter who you are, criminal, atheist, Christian, minister, nobody is good. We've all sinned. And guess what? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But guess what? We're Christians. Guess what? We're still sinners because we're sinners come to Christ. So we're always going to be sinners even though we're saved until we become glorified. Next slide. Oh, there's an album too. Sally Hilder. That sums it up too. All my friends are sinners. Everybody's sinners, right? She was like in 1978, she made that album in high school. So she was like the Taylor Swift of Christian music. Check it out. Hey, and like New Condition, they're $30 for the vinyl. Now, nobody's paying me anything for this. Okay, next slide. Okay, so God loves us. God loves everybody. He was telling even the Roman soldiers that, you know, beat Jesus almost to death before they crucified him, and then later on realized something strange was going on. Hey, they were ordered to do all that anyhow. He did. So God loves us. So even for them, Apostle Paul is saying he died for you, not just for the Jews. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, this is what's so profound about our Christian faith. It's because there's other... I was talking with a Hindu one time, and they're like, oh, Jesus is your name of God, because there's many names of God. But that was one of... Some Hindus are more monotheistic. And God's come many times, you know. It's called an avatar. And so they're like, yeah, Jesus was one of the Brahma's avatars, you know, or whatever. But no matter what religion, you don't see this going on, you know, because they're always like, even in Islam, you know, they say they believe in Jesus. He's one of the prophets. But then it was either an angel, it depends on which part of the Quran you read, but it's either an angel or Judas that died on a cross for Jesus. Because they say God doesn't have to do that. There's no way God would do anything like that. There's no way God would become a man and walk among us. And if he did that, which he doesn't even have to do that, why would God do that? God's up in heaven. He's not interested in coming to earth. You have to go to God. Whereas in our faith, God comes to us. God comes to us, makes it easy for us to accept him. And the reason, the way he does that is he changed things around. There's some metaphysical qualities about sacrifice and blood, but it had to be renewed constantly. Had to be renewed. When somebody sinned, they'd have to take an offering once a year, the Day of Atonement, you know, where everybody that didn't follow God would be cut off. You know, they sacrificed. You know, the priest had to wear bells to go up to the Holy of Holies. You know, when Jesus died, it was rented, but he had to wear bells and a rope. You know, if he wasn't sincere when he was presenting the blood from the sacrifice to God at the Ark of the Covenant, he would be struck dead. So, and then the priest would be like, they'd pull on him, they wouldn't hear the bells, and then they're like, okay, the ceremony's not done, we need another priest, any volunteers? So that's really what happened. Read about it. And there's several instances when people were struck dead by the Ark of the Covenant. But God demonstrated his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ, so this is God himself, the Old Testament God coming as Jesus and dying for us on the cross so that we could receive the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God that's everywhere, all over except in us because we're free moral agents. We choose whether or not to accept him. Next slide. For wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God himself basically came as a person. It's impossible for God to sin. Although as a human, he was tempted. So the human side of him, you know, could be tempted. He was tempted by Satan. But, you know, he died without sin. And so that negated everything. That took away the penalties. He forgave everybody. I think even past. It says he, you know, went into hell or spirit world to preach to people. So he forgave everybody, past, present, and future, everybody that would accept him. And you know, it's sad that not everybody partakes of that. And so that saddens Jesus. You know, while he's on the cross, he knew everybody would not accept him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. She was talking to the Roman soldiers. You know, they're splitting his garments and, you know, gambling and stuff while he's dying on the cross. And they give him vinegar to drink, you know. And then they heard that. He was talking to them. He said, forgive them. They know not what they do. Some of them heard that. Next slide. So you must believe and confess. So the moment Jesus died, you know, and there was a thunder, the earthquakes, it was dark, you know, probably some rain. The veil to the temple was rent in half. One of the Roman soldiers saw that, and he says, this is the Son of God. Hey, he may have been referring to Zeus. You know, probably wasn't the Hebrew God, but he realized there was something about Jesus. And that's just one of the many times when they started seeing the light. So we must believe and confess. So if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And, you know, one experience that would be, you know, to be at the tomb, you know, and all of a sudden they see something come down from the sky and, you know, like a flash of lightning and, you know, explosions, a tomb rolls open. You know, by then they're probably unconscious, but, you know, imagine what that would be like. They were frightened. If you believe, which if they didn't believe, that would really surprise me. I think all those guys did eventually. So if you believe and confess, you know, that Jesus is Lord, which means Jesus is God, you know, then you will be saved. And I know there's a Trinity and stuff. I'm more into, you know, unifying the Trinity. But either way you look at it, it's true, you know, the way you understand it. You can separate God more, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's okay, too. The Bible actually teaches both ways, you know, so you can work it out in your mind. And as long as you believe in the Bible, it's true. So I kind of look at them all as one more than a lot of people do. How do we believe, though? Sometimes you have trouble believing. Next slide. We'll get there. So, for it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It's with your heart. You believe with your heart. It's not following the law. You know, so that's what the Apostle Paul, he's writing about, you know, how to really get to know God, because he was transitioned. Apostle Paul went from the law, you know, where you kill people for God, to the age of grace, which he, even back then in the age of the law, I don't think God wanted people to kill people for that. It had just gotten to that point. It had just gotten to that point. Which that's actually addressed in The Chosen, where, you know, they follow the law so much, they're not thinking about people, you know, which God never intended that. Next slide. So you have to believe, you know, if there's an atheist. Kind of reminds me of, you know, people that don't believe. I've seen soldiers, I've been deployed, and there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. They start praying to something. They start praying to some God. A lot of things is true with inmates in jail, because they don't have anything to do. And one of the few books they can get is a Bible, which they can also get a Torah or a Koran too. But then that's all they got. They don't have any electronics. They can't play around with their phones. They can't go outside. Can't do anything. They're just in a little area. And all they got is to read their Bible. So a lot of them know more than we do, because they're reading study Bibles over and over again, plus all the notes. So, you know, choose to accept God. I think everybody here probably has, but, you know, we must choose to accept God, you know, when things are good. Accept God when we have a chance, because there's not always a second chance. Next slide. So God can help us believe, too. That's why I talk to inmates. They're like, I have trouble believing. I'm like, ask God. And I mean, I know a lot of people here have asked God, because there's a lot of healings going on, things that science can't explain. But God's showing us He's real. He's constantly affirming our faith. And He does it. He does something, whether big or small, for me even almost every day, where I'm like, okay, you did that. I know you did that. But, you know, small, big, healing people of cancer. Several times I've heard about that here. And so I let the inmates know. I'm like, ask God. Say, hey, prove that you're there. Because that's what Jesus says to do. So there's a guy that kept on, a little boy that kept on throwing himself into fire, trying to drown himself, all kinds of stuff. Couldn't speak or hear. science say it's epilepsy or something, but you know, whatever it is, there's a spirit behind it. And Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been happening to your son? The Father said, from childhood. And so he has, I'm glad he pulled his son out of the fire every time he did that. But yeah, that was just going on since childhood. Next slide. Oh, wait, go back. Oh, okay. So, he has often cast him into the fire, into the water, to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, help us, have compassion on us. Okay, next slide. So Jesus said to him, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes. So everything can be done for the one who believes. But immediately the father cried, well, I believe, but I really don't. He's like, I believe, but help my unbelief. The father was having trouble believing. He could say he believed, but he really didn't believe. Have you ever done that before? Like tried to, you know, talk to God or even other things. You've tried to believe something, but you just couldn't really go all the way. You could just say, I believe, but you didn't really, it wasn't really inside. So that's where this guy was having trouble. Next slide. Guess what Jesus said to him? When Jesus saw that a crowd came running all together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. So when you tell God that you believe or that you're trying to believe and you say, hey, God, help my unbelief, well, guess what God's going to do? He's going to help us in our unbelief. He's going to help us believe no matter what. So all we have to do is take that little step. God's not the God of other religions where he's off in heaven somewhere and we got to jump through hoops to see. There's one religion that if you do 51% good, you'll go to heaven. But if you do 49% good, you're not going to go to heaven. I don't know what they do with the 50-50 thing. I got to look that up. But I mean, it's not just Islam. Other religions believe that. And Jesus is like, no, you're not good. You know, you're not worthy. God's like, you're not worthy at all. But I'm going to do the work for you. I'm going to forgive you anyhow so that all your sins are blotted out. All your sins are taken away. So even if you've done 51% bad things, it's blotted out. And he works with us every day. That's why he says to ask for forgiveness every day. If you let the wrong thing slip out of your mouth or something, pray about it. Any bad habits and they start going away, where you don't do them as much, if not at all. But we're never, ever, ever perfect. So, but God will help us believe. And so that's what he did for that father. He showed the whole crowd that too. He showed the whole crowd that if they're having trouble believing, they can believe. All right, next slide. So, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So, you know, call upon God, like I talk to people, you know, in jail when I'm witness to them, or even deputies. You know, when you call upon them, God, God's going to answer you. God's there. Next slide. Because, you know, we're making Him the Lord of our life. But when He's there and when we call upon Him, God's going to come towards us. Just like when Peter was, Jesus walked out on the water and it freaked him. It freaked all those guys out because, they thought he was a ghost. And then Peter was like, hey, I'd like to do that. You know, remember Peter, first pope? Remember Peter. So Peter's like, hey, wow, look at that. I want to do that. And at first he was like so excited about it, he just got out of the boat and walked on the water. But they started losing faith and sinking, and Jesus had to pull them up. And Jesus didn't say stay in a boat. He permitted that to happen because he knew it would be ridden down. You know, not just that he walked on water, but that a person could, and he'd be pulled up when he needed help. So, yeah, you know, when we're sinking, when we're having trouble believing, you say, Lord, help me, just like Peter did. You call upon God, God's here. So, for from Him and through Him and to Him All things, to Him be the glory of God. So all things go through God. So, yeah, guess who those are? Remember His disciples, Peter, James, and John? They're the ones that saw the transfiguration. So, and guess who those were? Moses and Elijah. That's why people think of Revelation, it'll be the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, but that's just an interpretation. I try to stay with the facts, but they think those are the two witnesses maybe. But those are the disciples that saw Him during the transfiguration. They got to see that Jesus actually was really God. So they got to see that. Next slide. So here He is. Jesus is waiting for us to answer His call. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with him and he with Me." And He'll probably have a pork chop too. But yeah, that's what he's doing. He's like, he wants an intimate relationship. And the door represents a heart. That's like your spiritual center. You know, you let God into your... Jesus literally comes inside, into your body. It chases away anything that's bad. Never leaves you. Once you ask Jesus into your heart and forgive your sins, He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. You know, maintain your salvation, you know, praying daily, asking for forgiveness daily, even if we don't know what we did, but usually we do. But that way we stay close to God, ask God to break down all barriers constantly, because we're always erecting them, because we have that human nature that causes us to sin against God. And also, I go on a Jewish website. It helps me understand the Bible, actually. And they talk about that too. I forgot the Jewish word, but they talk about the nature that's in us that started with Adam and Eve, you know, that we're constantly against God. So, you know, and then they say that's why we have to follow the law to, you know, strike down that human nature constantly so we can get closer to God. So, yeah, it's interesting. So that's what He's going to do. He stands at the door and knocks. He comes in and He pushes that human nature away. We're always going to have it. We're always going to fight against God, but He knows that. He knows that. He forgives us, though we know not what we do. Next slide. So to all who received Him, those who received His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. So we all become the family of God. It's not just the Jews anymore. Everybody. We've become the new chosen people. Everybody that accepts Jesus, you know, we become the family of God, which He'd like everybody to be part of the family of God. Next slide. Oh man, where are they going? Oh, I think they're going to a fellowship hall. All right, next slide. All right, cool. All right, shall we pray? Dear God, thank You for everything that You've done for us. Thank You for giving us this message. And we accept You. We accept Your forgiveness. And dear God, thank You for being a blessing to us. And help us to remember to let You speak through us when we witness to others. And I think now it's time. I'll do a longer prayer later. That was actually a mistake, but it's okay. My other services, I pray right after the message. But now we're going to do our tithes and offerings.